Welcome back, everybody, Woo-hoo! To Hoops HD. This is our Thursday night bracket rundown show.
Yes.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Slica, Joby Fortson, and the puppet, David Griggs.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
Okay. This is our bracket rundown show, but we've been doing these for about 3 or 4 weeks in a row now. We're going to change things up a little bit here. What we did tonight is I asked each of our panelists here to submit for me their top 55 teams in the nation, regardless of conference. Did about a kind of a cross-country score, kind of like they would vote. They score the AP and the, you know, the coaches' polls in the top 25s. Came up with a final list of the top of who would be in the NCAA tournament right now. Who the top? I think we end up with about 12 or 15 teams. Out yeah. would be as well. Added in the auto bids myself. I chose them and ranked them myself.
Yes.
Sorry, guys.
What else we do? We put the two winners of the quadruplers that we've had this year into the field. Chad, we had a quadrupler last night. Did you see that?
Yes, David. We were under the radar during it.
The second one of the season.
Okay.
We've been almost 2 years. So, before we get started, how about Davidson and GW, extensive coverage on that. What do you think of their tournament chances?
Zero. Go ahead.
I think they'll make wonderful candidates for the MEAC bonus game in the AC8.
I was going to say that quite frankly, David, the chances of either one of those teams making the NCAA tournament, I kind of like the chances of the 2019-20 Ocean State tournament champion a little bit better.
Well, true. We still don't know if that gets an automatic bid or not. We have contacted the NCAA asking for clarification. They have not gotten back with us.
But let's go at you.
What's funny is there's one team on there that will be mentioned tonight, probably is not in the field, but one of our other considerations.
You rank Johnson and Wales of Rhode Island that high.
Exactly.
I don't know the bright. What's interesting is that we are – well. Chad knows the bracket. The rest of us don't. This is a Selection Sunday type of experience. I know that he sort of explained it before. Right. He cross-country ranked the brackets. But we don't know what it's going to be. We don't know what the matchups are. So we're kind of seeing this as you see it.
Right. And by the way, if you're watching this and you're looking down below us, you just totally ruined the entire show. Do not look at the bracket below this
don't
yet.
Don't look at the bracket.
It will be there.
Yeah.
Because we are going to reveal just like they do. I guess I'm playing Greg Gumbel tonight or whoever does it these days.
Yeah, but my fear is because Charles TBS Barkley. Is covering the selection show this year, they'll be doing it in alphabetical order again.
We would not be doing it in alphabetical order. We're not going to also reveal the matchups as they come. We're going to reveal the teams kind of in order. So
yeah, it'll be line by line. A couple of bullet points. Yeah. You may have been getting to this, and I could have just interrupted you, but I don't care. One is for this particular exercise, we are not attempting to guess what the committee will do on Selection Sunday or suppose what they would do if the season ended today. This is entirely ours. John Tytel is our selection committee guessing expert. If that's what you want to look at the bracketology tab above. His bracket is in there. We don't really give a damn for this particular exercise. What were the other two?
Feel free to look at the J&G, too.
The J&G is what the best possible computer metric to determine it.
And look at starting that. About February 1st or so is always my mark when I say, okay, we're playing with real bullets.
Yeah.
So what the J&G is right now is a realistic bracket. So
yeah, I had three. The second one I just remembered is Thursday's games were not considered.
They were not. We had to have the ballots in by 7 p.m. Eastern, which means as we record this, it's about a little after 10. None of the games for Thursday night were in here, including the Minnesota at Illinois game.
That would have a big impact on my bracket, though.
Yeah, yeah, and it may have impacted the final results had we factored it in. But
Illinois won, didn't they? Why would that impact anything?
But on that note, let's go through it. And Dave, if you remember whatever your other point was, we'll get to it when we go. But let's talk about the number one team overall. I think it was unanimous. I don't think there's any doubts about this. In the South region, playing their first round games in Omaha, it is the Baylor Bears. Very easily selected there, David.
Yeah, and I mean, Baylor's resume is really impressive. And last night it looked like they went into Iowa State, and it looked like they were kind of struggling. So I decided to put the game on, and then 2 minutes later I changed the channel again because they just blew it wide open. What I'm getting at is even when they're having a bad game and they're on the road in conference, and this is not an easy conference to win on the road in, they can still win big. Is part of the reason Baylor might not be getting the respect. Well, I mean, I know they're getting respect. They're ranked number one and number two, but you still have this narrative about no dominant teams when in reality they're just as dominant or more so than any team that, you know, we've seen in the past. Is partly because they're not a blue blood that people just don't understand how good they are.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. And then let me also put the number two team, which was, there was a little bit of a, it was not quite totally unanimous, but Joby Gonzaga did come in as number two.
Yeah, and I think that's accurate. The way that there's a little eye test here. They've done – their resume's fine. They only have one loss. It's a good resume. It's the number one
seed. Resumes up, too. Go ahead.
But they are beating the heck out of teams. They are just dismantling. And the West Coast Conference, for those who do not follow closely, the WCC is pretty good this year. It is a legitimate – three-bid league, and I hope we will find out in this process. And there, it's like there's nothing. They're winning by 20, 30, 40 points. I mean, the first round, we'll find out again tonight how they do at Santa Clara, but the way the Santa Clara game to me really steps out, because that's a good Santa Clara team, and they doubled them up. And it wasn't a case of, oh, Santa Clara had a bad night. No, the Zags were that good.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, the one thing about the Zags, they still haven't played St. Mary's at all yet. They'll play them twice. Yeah. They played BYU once, and they did win it fairly easily, but that was at home. They haven't gone to BYU yet. So their three toughest games in conference play are still to come, I think. Again, they won at Arizona. They beat Oregon. They won at Washington back when Washington was a good team, you know, and they won convincingly. So, they are good, But Sleek, let me bring up the number three team overall. I think you actually already saw them there on that team sheet there. The Kansas Jayhawks came in at number three. And I think that this is the argument that when you look at the Kansas profile, look how much they have in quadrant one. Look at the two top 10 wins. Do they belong above the Zags?
In this case, they're actually going to be a little bit below right here. And I know it's kind of hard to dock Kansas with a three losses right here, but keep in mind they're all against Baylor at home and also Duke on the neutral floor back in the season opening game.
I don't fault any of those three losses. Gonzaga's loss is worse than any of those three.
It arguably, Baylor at home, Duke and Villanova, but the top of the profile is impressive. But the one thing, and again, I think the committee would have them right there. I personally didn't. I think the team that I had ahead of them isn't even going to be the next.
I had them number two overall. I honestly did.
I think
did.
Another thing we should stress is this is actually a checkpoint right now. But if Kansas were to finish the season with only three losses and win out through the Big 12, I'm pretty sure they would be ranked above Gonzaga on the seed list.
Well, they'd be number one overall there too.
You're talking about winning at Baylor. That would leapfrog them over everybody.
Right. Kansas does this every year, and it's to Kansas's credit. They're the best schedulers among the Blue Bloods. They always rack up these really – and the Big 12 helps because of the way the conference usually structured with all these top-heavy teams. They seem to always have just these great – they're the best resume teams for what they do every year on paper. Yeah, even last year, the resume itself is what carried them to a four seed because, you know, they were playing poorly down the stretch last year. This is the same thing again, except this year, they're not playing poorly. They're playing very solid.
I look at it. I mean, their net is fourth, but, you know, all the other metrics are one. They're Ken Pom number one, Sagarin number one. They have the number one strength of schedule, the number one non-conference strength. They did everything the committee asks the team to do.
Exactly.
And more.
Okay, but
there's going to be an argument if they win at Baylor. There's going to be an argument that they're number one overall.
There could be, but one of the things is I know the committee doesn't look at this as much, but head to head, they lost to somebody that also has a very good top of the profile, and that's why I keep putting Duke ahead of them.
But at the end of the day, I think we're also splitting hairs because we're talking about number two and number three overall, as opposed to three and number four.
Let me go ahead and show the final of the one seeds here, that is at number four overall, the one seed in the West region, in the East region, I'm sorry, David, is not Duke. We actually had the undefeated San Diego State Aztecs there. San Diego State, I think by virtue of being undefeated, it's so tough for me to keep them off the one line. I really can't.
They certainly have a case for the one line. If I were doing what Tytel does, I would certainly have them up there because I think the committee is going to put them up there, and it isn't an outrageous selection. Okay. I personally, for part of the, what I said earlier, when I look at it, and I'm assuming they're going to come on at number five.
No, they're not, David.
They're not?
No, really? And we're going to get to Duke here in a moment. But,
I thought I had Seton Hall high. I didn't have them that high.
I'll tell you quite honestly here, Seton Hall surprised me. I thought I had Seton Hall high. We all had them 5, 6, or 7 overall.
I had them 6.
I had them 5. I had them 5.
They lost to Rutgers. How the hell can you have them 5th?
Yeah. I'll pop that Seton Hall profile really quickly here. Joby, you want to discuss it quickly here. Look at the top of the profile.
Look at all those ats. I mean, isn't that pretty? I mean, it's really pretty. I would say that's why they're on the 2 line, not the 1 line. But, I mean, that is just strength. And the Maryland win's looking better and better by the day because they're sliding up the Big Ten standings at a moment. This is a very pretty profile, and I like the way they play. I love the inside-out play. It's not just – you've heard me on other shows. It's not just Powell. I mean, they've got a nice inside-outside game working. This Seton Hall team is more than what we thought in the preseason when everybody by default was putting them like 12th.
Yeah.
Because, we've got our top teams and all this stuff, but teams like North Carolina and Virginia have tailed off, obviously, from those early days. And Seton Hall has filled the void and fulfilled what the top end of what people preseason thought they could be.
Well, I just got to say this. Joby, once again, always the guy that overvalues road wins.
Number 6 overall, coming in there in the Midwest region, go to Greensboro, of course, is Duke. And Joby, I need to go back to you for a second here because one of the reasons Duke fell to 6 overall as opposed to 4 or 5 was you. Joby, you rated them 13th overall.
Because they're the third best team in the ACC right now.
I want you to defend the fact that you would have had Duke on the 4 line.
Yes.
Go ahead and defend it, because I'm not as big a Duke as David is, but I'm not because that
Duke
low on
has
him.
Been, I really hate the stumbling at Clemson. They lost to Louisville. Louisville's better than they are. They are. I mean, I hate to sound that way.
But didn't they beat Kansas and Michigan State away from home?
Yeah, that's the one thing about Duke.
Who's better than Louisville at that? Yeah.
That's the one thing about Duke. And Joby really needs to start valuing teams that win away from home. I mean, that's one of the things. You know, Duke is the only team, I think, they're the only team that has beaten 2 protected seeds away from home, or at least 2 top 2 line teams away from home, aren't they?
Well, we just saw a couple of teams that beat multiple protected seeds, but
yeah.
I mean, that is what – I mean, if Duke had lost either one of those games, I'd be with Joby a 4 seed, maybe a 5 seed. It's the fact that they beat a Kansas team who I think is the best team in the nation, arguably, or may end up being the best team in the nation when they go into Waco.
Baylor's pretty good.
But not to pick on them, so how many tournament wins is that you're staring at Duke? Two really good ones, but two. How many?
I'm picking Georgia State to win the Sun Belt right now.
How about Winthrop? Yeah, don't overlook Winthrop. Do not overlook the winner of the Ocean State Tournament.
And they have a loss to a team that's not at large worthy.
Yeah, they do.
As a matter of fact, 2 losses to not at large worthy team. So yeah. I'm not saying they're awful, but they're, you know, sometimes the metric is do you have – I mean, look at Kansas's resume compared to Duke. I mean, Kansas, you know, it's like a zillion tournament wins. Duke has 2.
They're great ones, but they're 2.
It's not a glass tiger situation, but, man, you know.
I agree and I understand that. I just don't think I'd have them on the 4 line. If that's the way you want to take it, I would still have had them on the 3 line. I would have had them behind Florida State and Louisville, though, in that case. But I think we can get Florida State and Louisville in before that. And Salika, in fact, how about Florida State, number 7 overall in the South region there in Tampa?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a minor stumble for Florida State against a more desperate Virginia team. But the Noles have been pretty consistent all year, and their only real stumbles of note were going to be against Pittsburgh and also at Indiana, which there's nothing really wrong with this year. But I think if you were looking at the Duke profile, for example, a lot more tier three wins as opposed to, let's say, tier one wins that Kansas had. But if you're looking at Florida State and some of their notable wins, they've already won at Louisville. So that's going to be a keystone win. And Purdue and Florida, those wins keep waffling a little bit, but they're still going to be pretty solid victories nonetheless.
And the loss at Pitt is not an awful loss at all this year, as it has been in the past few.
Matter of fact, within inches, if Pitt has a good next game, it's a tier one loss.
Yeah. And let's, David, let me finish out the two seeds here in the West region. Until Elite Eight matchup for Gonzaga is Villanova coming in their second Big East team here, getting in on the two line as well.
Yeah, the way this is playing out, we didn't really get into the bracketing rules. I guess we don't. A little unfortunate that San Diego State is in New York and Villanova is in L.A. But
San Diego State would rather be number five overall so they can go to L.A., honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
Seton Hall would be perfectly fine being in New York City as the one.
Yeah.
You know.
But this is a Villanova team that started off good and has improved to really good as the season has gone along. I like them. I don't remember if I didn't have them this high. I had them very, very close, definitely in the top 10.
Let's start looking at some of the three seeds here, starting out at number 9 overall. We're only going to go one team at a time for the top 16 teams, and then we'll go a full line at the time, by the way. But at number nine overall, we had the Dayton Flyers. And honestly, this is the team that I had ranked lower than anybody else. All of you had them here on the two or the three line.
I had them on the two.
I get that. I think for part of the reason that you are all rating them so high is how well they played in their losses. And I'm still a firm believer that a loss is a loss is a loss. And if you just look at who they beat St. Mary's and a bunch of teams that are not going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Okay, yeah.
According to you, I think they're definitely a NCAA tournament, a second team out of the A-10.
I don't think they beat that second team, though. I think that second team is another A-10 team other than Dayton.
I think VCU.
I think Richmond VCU is a very good
team. I think that February 11th and March 4th they're going to be playing the team that is my second team out of the A-10.
And I think they beat them. Let me answer that, Chad, because it really is hard. This is a case, I don't do this often, but I do it, especially and I know the committee is watching, and I would like for all 10 of them to hear this. This is a case where I think a team is not just better than their resume, but a lot better. I felt that last year about a couple teams when we would do this exercise and I would rank them higher. Particularly with some of the SoCon teams that we did this with last year, one in particular. I just think that when you look at, beating St. Mary's on a neutral floor is hardly indicative of a protected seed. And that's the best thing that they've done. But they have blown out decent bubble-ish teams on the road for a lot of the year. I mean, I just think that, they look like a top 15 when you watch them.
Okay. The only team that's actually
Dayton yesterday, they were just awesome.
And you know, if Dayton runs the table in the A-10, I will be championing them as a two seed at least. But okay. I just, they're not there yet.
The only team that's come within
10 points of Dayton at UD Arena this year, of all teams, Indiana State.
Yeah. And another thing, now I will say this, there is something about them that gives me pause as much as I've been talking about them, and that's how they can't seem to finish out games. I know that that's easier said than done, but they let Duquesne back in. It's as if they get way ahead and then they get
bored. They're up 18
in that game. I don't know if that's indicative of them just sort of being bored with the situation or if it's an actual problem with them being able to close teams out. Like, there is a little bit of an Achilles heel, but if Dayton were to play Duke, I it wouldn't shock me at all if Dayton beat them. This is a good Flyers team.
Well, let's keep rolling along here. Let's reveal number 10 overall, also on the three line. We've got a team popping up somewhere here. Oregon, who is, as we record, this is losing to Cal.
Yeah.
But again,
are they?
But again, we did vote before that, and the Oregon profile is still a solid profile, the top team in the Pac-12. And at number 11 overall, we've got Michigan State. Finally getting a Big Ten team in there, and we're going to see a lot of them. Stalika, your thoughts on those two teams?
Michigan State is going to be one team that's going to be at the top of the Big Ten right now, and later on we can expect to see teams like Maryland and Penn State also populating the list right here. Maybe the Illini?
Let's see. We'll finish off the three line there out of the East region with that third ACC team in Louisville that, you know, again, Joby, I think you can get all three of these teams in there and still have Duke on the three line at least. let's go a little bit quicker here through the four line, though. At number 13 overall, these are the last of our protected seeds, last of our teams that are favored to make the Sweet 16. There's Kentucky, our first SEC team, if I'm correct, David.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting. I'm making okay, well, some.
Forget you, David. First SEC team. Else.
I'm trying to. I'm back now. I was getting the.
They were not. I think that it's completely reasonable to have Kentucky, but I think that's a little bit of projection on them because I think they definitely have a high ceiling. They're. I mean, we do this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. They're not even a protected seed yet. But agreed. I have another SEC team I did have ahead of them who's playing hotter. And he's dragging a lot of other teams across because they have good wins.
I had Kentucky pretty high.
Well, let me defend the Kentucky pick here, though. Yeah. You've got four what they call Tier 1A wins, the top half of Tier 1, including Michigan State team who's in already, a Louisville team who's in already, and road wins at Texas Tech, a road win at Arkansas. And only blemishes that Evansville loss, which might be a sub-300 loss by the time we end the season.
Evansville having a remarkable season.
But it was a lot different Evansville team when they lost them. I will give them credit for that.
Yeah.
let's roll on and take a look at the rest of the four line here. At number 14 overall, playing their games in St. Louis's Butler here. Here's our third Big East team already.
Yeah, three Big East teams as protected seeds. That's pretty
good. Big East teams. We've had three ACC teams already. Yeah,
and we might not have any more ACC teams.
We might not. West Virginia, we now have three Big 12 teams as well. West Virginia making it to the top 16 despite the loss at Texas Tech, where they really huge win for Texas Tech, but really didn't show up last night at Texas Tech at all.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about Butler and you talk about West Virginia. Like, the one thing, they're really good, but the two teams in front of them are really hard to beat.
And also keep in mind, a team like Butler, we had even higher, but they actually had a three-game losing streak thanks to Seton Hall and then DePaul and Villanova on the road.
Yeah. Who is the last protected
seed? The last of the protected seeds, the last team that we snuck in there. Joby, is it your SEC team?
No, it's
a Big Ten team, actually. Maryland, a team we're watching right now that started to play some really good basketball. And as we record this, they're about to beat Iowa at home.
I'm not as big on them as the three of you, apparently.
Well let's pull up this Maryland team profile.
Yeah,
Joby, I'm not certain where you had them ranked, but your thoughts on this Maryland
team? I had them on the high end. I had them on this line. Actually, I had them as a 3-seed.
Okay.
They're one of my teams ahead of Duke, to be honest.
Again, no bad losses.
They've piled up a ton of really strong – those are 5 wins against the field. Their losses are all on the road on top half of Tier 1. Against teams, one team we've already had and three that I think we're going to see very shortly. The Big Ten is just so tough this year, and because it's so tough, and there are so many teams we're going to talk about in this field – every win is a nice win, but it's tough to break out. And I think Maryland and Michigan State, even more so than Illinois, are going to have that opportunity and chance to do so.
Okay.
I think the Terps are a pretty strong team. They're everything that was expected in the preseason, which was, like Seton Hall, that 10-11 range team.
Well, go back to that profile real quick. I mean, they're looking good tonight at home. The home win against Ohio State doesn't do much for me because I don't think Ohio State has but one or two road wins. I really like that win at Indiana, and obviously the neutral at Marquette, a team that I would imagine is going to be in the top half of our bracket. But when you compare them to, say, Illinois, I just think Illinois is better in nearly every. Can we get Illinois up, Chad? Or
I'll try to type it. Yep. Here comes Illinois. I'll put Illinois here on the right hand side. We're probably going to be seeing this Illinois team very, very soon.
Yeah. I mean, look at Whiskey.
I'll tell you the difference here, David,
is
a couple of things. It's the Missouri and Miami losses, which are bad. There is no bad on Maryland's profile. I understand. I love the fact that they won three Tier 1A road games, although they are barely Tier 1A. They're more closer to Tier 1B road games. But, you know, you got a little bit more in the Tier 2. You got a much better non-conference strength of schedule with Maryland also. I don't like that 2-16 non-conference strength of schedule, which doesn't even factor in a game against non-D1 Lindenwood. I mean,
also keep in mind that could have been
Purdue being a high Tier 1. You know,
I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't really.
I'm sorry, Purdue has a lot of losses for a reason.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Illinois was up at Maryland for most of that game, but ended up choking that away.
Yeah, they
there will
did,
be a
yeah.
rematch coming up in about a week's time. Yeah,
well, let's reveal the entire five line here. These will include potential second round opponents for the four seeds. We'll see all four teams come up. And they do include that Illinois team we just mentioned, along with two more Big Ten teams in Iowa yeah. and Penn State. Creighton is the fifth there.
I think I had Maryland behind all of those. I like okay. this Creighton team a lot. I didn't have them in the protected seed range, I don't think. But I had them close. And the thing is, I this is a great team for at least another 3 or 4 days. then February rolls around.
Yeah, but Iowa, Penn State. I mean, Iowa losing as we record this, although at Maryland, who is higher than this. Can't dock them too much for that. Illinois, the nice win tonight over Minnesota. Minnesota at home.
I don't know how nice it is to beat a team that's only won one road game.
But let's also take a look at the sixth season.
They're only one game over 500 now.
Yeah,
we've got now some potential second round opponents for the three seeds. Here, as a sixth seed, should be coming up on the screen in about half a second. So Michigan State gets LSU in there. We see Auburn. We see Marquette and Colorado. Adobe, let me let you address LSU.
Auburn, God, what is wrong with you people?
David,
only
when I call on you, you can talk. I'm going to silence you.
LSU, I had as a four. As a four seed. Maybe recency bias is it, but they are one of the hottest teams in the country. Their losses are all of a sudden starting to look better. Like, East Tennessee State's not a bad loss right now. I know East Tennessee State lost yesterday, but I still think they're a very quality team. Utah State's starting to put together some things that they're not the dismissed. Yeah. And so all of a sudden the losses don't look as bad as they did a month and a half ago. And then we can start to convert to, all right, they're getting to the meat of the SEC schedule and they're taking care of business. Like, on the road, they won at Texas, which I know Texas is not going to be in our field, but it's a nice win in Austin just the same. And they are leading the SEC. You've got 7-0 means something. Leading the SEC means something in my book. Now, if they got to beat Kentucky at the end of the day, that game, and they only have to play them once, but if that game on February 18th is huge. But right now, as much as I'm not a Will Wade fan for him to not be coaching in the basketball right now.
But I think they
legitimately, I think, are a strong team that I would not want to play. I mean, all these – the Big Ten teams right now, which are all good and I all like, I'd much rather play them than the way LSU's
playing. Let me turn and address the other SEC Tigers there on the right-hand side of the screen, Auburn. David, I know you don't like this profile.
I do not like
and
them.
Let me defend it because I
have – Well, to be fair, I don't like their team either.
But when you look at it right now, the Richmond and St. Louis neutral court wins, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago for one other team, are not nearly as bad. Are looking a lot more solid. The NC State win is, even if it's at home – that road win at Mississippi State is looking better and better and better. This Mississippi State team is rising fast now for their win at Florida. And yep. Auburn has done nothing bad. Loss at Alabama, it's a rivalry game. I can forgive that. It's a Tier 1A loss also. A loss at Florida, and they've beat everybody else. Now, we are going to find out about this team the next 2 weeks. Kentucky, at Arkansas, LSU, Alabama. We will find out a lot about them.
Right now,
I think that 18-2 overall record in the SEC against the number 57 strength of schedule merits this line or very close to it.
It doesn't, but okay. If they win the next four, then I'll
the next four.
You know, then I'll be championing them for at least this line and probably higher.
Well, if they beat like Kentucky and LSU among those next four, they're not just on this line. They have a little yellow, if not higher.
Yeah.
I mean, Salika, you had a comment about either these two teams or maybe Marquette and Colorado as well.
Well, not so much Marquette and Colorado, but was just going to highlight that a week from Saturday is going to be the lone meeting this year between LSU and Auburn. So that will be at Auburn, then LSU only gets one meeting at home against Kentucky. So they're not going to have as many opportunities against the heavyweights in the conference. So it's probably going to be more essential that LSU at least get a share of the conference title if they do want to merit a higher seed this year.
Let's take a look at the 7 line here. Potential opponents for the 2 seeds in the second round. We see Florida State getting Ohio State, Villanova versus Rutgers in Albany, Duke, Houston, and a potential Seton Hall, Wisconsin game also up in Albany. As far as this line goes, I don't know. I think that we all kind of thought this is where these teams belong. You know, again, we see 3 more Big Ten teams on this line, just like we saw on the 5 line. A lot of Big Ten here in that 5-7, 5-8 seed range, though.
Yep.
I guess, you know, the only thing I got to say here is I actually had Rutgers rated lowest of any of us. Because I need to see a road win or even this neutral court win in the, was it the 04 NIT championship game rematch at Madison Square Garden coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm.
I tell you, if I'm Seton Hall, I'm not liking that matchup because we've seen in Mario Kart pre-Lance, Wisconsin is the blue shell, the NCAA right here. They've taken out Xavier and Villanova in years past.
Right. Ohio State, a team that had been free-falling for a while, finally looks like they may have corrected things a little bit, at least enough to, you know, hang in there for now. But the number 8 line here, potential 1-seed matchups, we got Wichita State, 2 more Big Ten teams in Michigan and Indiana, and and USC getting to go to Sacramento to take on San Diego State. They kind of – it's not a bad spot for them in the 8 line there, at least because of Sacramento.
Yeah, I know. That would be a real fun one. USC, San Diego State. They don't regularly play, at least I don't think, and both pretty good this year. This Baylor-Wichita State game is intriguing, too, at least from a matchup standpoint in Omaha.
So. In Omaha, yeah. And yeah. Kansas, Indiana, and Omaha. Those would be a couple fun games, actually.
Yeah, yeah, they would be. So good job on the 8 line.
Okay, so we're now going to move to the 9 line. We're going to see our projected first round matchups as well. So these are the potential matchups for those 8 seeds we just talked about. Our selections here on the 9 line would be Wichita State going up against Arkansas, Michigan against Arizona, who is now losing at Washington as we record this. They can't win on the road. St. Mary's getting in there, and Texas Tech. Let's talk about this Texas Tech team. This is a team that was about to fall right off the bubble. Joby, that win last night, just huge. When you have nothing
Texas,
bad,
yes,
you get that
win.
They
were that was a 3-seed jumper.
I agree.
Because they were missing the big win, in my opinion. They had the Louisville win. I shouldn't say missing it. But look besides Louisville. It's like there's a lot of blue.
A lot of empty, yeah.
And you definitely don't get credit for Kansas State and Iowa State. Sorry, I don't care what their net is. They're 100-plus net in reality. That showed, hey, these guys can beat protected seeds. They've done it more than once now. It just changes the whole view you have of Texas Tech, which – you will hear me say about their opponent in the championship game last year, too, as a preview.
As far as these other teams, David, I want to address this Arizona team, especially if they can't find a way to win this game tonight, that they're down 5 with about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, not a fan. When you pull them up, look at – and I know metrics in at least the predictive rankings like them. Well – if the predictive rankings like them, then why aren't they winning games? That is a really, really weak profile. Colorado and Illinois at home and nothing else.
Nothing else. Arizona State at home.
Yeah.
What's Arizona's
road record, though? I mean, is that even – do you even bring that one forward?
I mean, the fact is they are this game tonight, if it turns into a Washington win, is a perfect example of why I had them even a line lower, I think. And it's because they are still sitting without a road win. We've said it. If they got the win at Washington, as bad as Washington has been, or at Washington State, who did just beat Arizona State last night, but is still not a tournament team in any way, shape, or form, That would fill a huge Grand Canyon-sized hole in their resume. It really would. But as long as that hole is sitting there, it is just growing wider and wider, and the skeptics are, like David, who is very road wind oriented, and myself, are going to be getting more and more insistent on the road component. And I think the committee, not that we're projecting the committee, but I think that talk in the committee, it's going to become, they're already talking and meeting. I guarantee the lack of a road wind has popped up in the committee. And if this plays out, I'm not saying they're definitively missing the tournament. I'm just saying where the bracketologist extraordinaires think Arizona is, I truly believe they're wrong. I think Arizona is much lower than where, I don't know. I don't know where like a Lenardi has them, but I presume it's in they're wearing white. I mean, they're not wearing white.
I agree with you completely. They're not. Steve.
I mean, they could change that. A win against Washington could change that, but they haven't done it. Well, and that's the problem.
They are only down two, so we'll see if that game was final before we're done here. But, Salika, let me bring you back in here to show the 10 seeds, potential matchups for the 7 seeds in the first round. We've got there Ohio State's opponent, Oklahoma, Rutgers against BYU. Joby, who's back in the tournament, taking out Houston with Duke sitting there in the second round waiting for him, and Stanford versus Wisconsin. I mean,
that's crazy. There's only 4 ACC teams in the damn tournament. You got 2 of them playing in the second round.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't think you will, because I think the Dukes will be playing Houston. But
hey, trust me, Virginia gets to Duke in Greensboro. That crowd is going to be a combination of North Carolina Tar Heel fans and Virginia fans. It'll be a very home game. But this is the preview. I said this is a very Texas Tech-like story for Virginia. Virginia was out. That's why they're a seed behind. They were out. There's no doubt in my mind. But then they get that win, plus Syracuse playing a little better. You know,
Syracuse's
a real road win now. All of a sudden you start going, wait a minute, they can actually beat teams that are tournament quality. And then, Arizona State, and there's other relative wins there. But that changes the profile 180 degrees. They got to do more. They've got to do more. But – they can't keep losing these tier two losses, and they can't start racking them up again. But they at least have stopped the bleeding, and now can steady things. And they got to beat Clemson. They got but they can afford now to lose to Louisville on the road without it killing them.
David, two teams. I got Oklahoma there on the right. That Kansas State lost real ugly last night, but still beat Minnesota. You won at Texas. You got the Mississippi State win. And the team that beat Oklahoma there on the left, Stanford, who's got a lot of nothing in the first two teams.
Yeah, lots of empty calories on these profiles. I mean, the best thing you can say about sort of both of them is that they really haven't done anything awful. And even then, you kind of have to overlook the loss at K-State as not being awful. But right. You just need to see more than that. I think that they're good enough to do more than that. And if they do, then they will be further inside the bubble. But for right now, I mean, you're almost – should they even be on the line that they're on?
Yeah, well, there's not much left here.
And Washington is going to go from tier two to back of tier two if they can't pull off the Arizona-type wins, because they're in free fall. So the 46 net, it will not be – even if they beat Arizona, is not going to be 46 at the end of the year.
Also talking about two other teams that have been playing with matches lately – Arkansas had been a home court hero this year, but Kentucky losing at home to them would have been forgivable. Losing at home to South Carolina, not quite as forgivable for the Hogs right here.
Right, that was up on the 9 line there. Yes, thank you.
That is why they're there in 9 row and not in the top half.
But when you look at the 10s right here, like Oklahoma, BYU, Virginia, and Stanford, not quite ready to fall that low, but Oklahoma, they certainly couldn't afford the loss at K-State that they took earlier in the week.
No.
All right. Let me pull up I'm going to show 3 of the 4 11 seeds right now. We're not. This will get us all the way up to the first 4. And a little statement about the first of all. We see in there both Syracuse and Florida as at-large bids. Northern Iowa, automatic bid winner. But we actually had them ranked sandwiched in between the 11 seed first fours and the 12 seed first fours. So that's why they get on the 11 line. So Northern Iowa definitely in play for an at-large bid still based on where we had them ranked is what I'm getting at there. But Syracuse and Florida, especially the CUSA, David, red hot team here, I think.
Yeah, the Q's dropping one the other night at Clemson, a game that they kind of appeared to have won, but, you know, not getting it done yet, but still definitely trending in the right direction there.
Right. I mean, you look at now, I'll pull up Syracuse, also pull up this Northern Iowa profile on the right, but you've got those three tier one road wins, and even though there's a lot of losses in tier two, there's nothing beyond that. So there's still some. Yeah.
It's funny. Virginia win over Florida State dramatically helps Syracuse profile because Virginia is now a tournament team. Whereas if Virginia had lost to Florida State, they would not be a tournament team most likely. And you'd be saying at this Syracuse profile, well, where's the win against somebody who's playing in March?
You look at this Northern Iowa team. If they win all the way out to the Missouri Valley Conference Championship game, you think they got to get a look, especially with that Colorado win, despite a couple of head scratching losses. I don't know that they get in, but I think they get a serious look.
And they might get in. I mean, this is a committee that favored, road wins out of a team like Belmont last year over Fluff.
Right. And they do have six road and neutral wins on the season now, including that South Carolina neutral court win.
Right.
And of course, we got Florida in their team schizophrenia.
Yeah,
is Florida even
good? I mean, the whole season we've been saying they have a high ceiling. They just haven't played up to it yet. Maybe they don't. And it's alarming to see them have that kind of personnel and not be doing better than that.
Well, I'm going to pull up the two first four teams of the 11 line here. And I want to once again stress before I do this that we voted here before any games were played tonight. Mm-hmm. Because we put a team that is now – one game over 500 overall the season on this line here with that Minnesota team.
Virginia Tech.
Going up against Va Tech. And Joby, you didn't even rate Va Tech in your top 55.
No, so. They've sunk. I mean, they've played crappy lately. I mean, they really have. I mean, it's just not – they haven't been looking good. 2 weeks ago, they'd be 10 line, 11 line, something like that.
They beat Michigan State and they won at Syracuse. That I can't overlook that.
Right. But it's just, Miami lost. It was a final Boston College, Miami back to back. That's not what bubble teams should be doing. Maybe it's a recency bias for me, but take away the Miami Boston College losses. You go, that is a tournament team. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like we said, a 10 seed, you know, sir, add those in. I'm like, ooh. And it's how they're playing now. And so that it's recency bias. I get it. I mean, Virginia goes out, they lose to Clemson. They get placed where I placed Virginia Tech real quick.
I don't get the Minnesota.
Well, first of all, again, we didn't have the Illinois in there. I think that if I was revoting right now, I wouldn't have them there. But Stalika, yeah. Minnesota, you had them right around this point in the field. You want to take a little defense of them?
Well, I think it's going to be mainly because they were able to at least get a sweep of Ohio State. Granted, the Buckeyes not playing their best ball, but at least
they got four good wins. They really do.
Yeah.
And granted, they have a lot of losses.
What are the four good wins?
They're all tier ones.
Ohio State twice.
Ohio State at home is hard. I mean, that's Michigan hasn't even won a road game. That's not a good win.
The thing with Minnesota is, despite 10 losses, they have, if you just look at ranked team by losses, 10 team loss teams, they'd be number one in the nation in that category. They're the best 10 loss team in the nation.
Okay, I might be with you on that one.
And they've got to win. I mean, they've got three out of four coming up at home. They could win three out of these next four, actually four of the next five with Northwestern after that. It's going to be enough to get that record where it needs to be.
They need it. I think the committee is very loath. Now, Minnesota, because of the loss component, can maybe pull off that, hey, we're two games above 500, let us in. Mm-hmm. But that's a tall order. You need to get to three. You really do need to get to three. And I think if Minnesota, with the Big Ten schedule being a part of this, if this Minnesota team that is now one game above 500 winds up three above 500, that means it will include a lot of very solid tier one wins just by the mere nature force of nature, because they don't play a ton of Northwesterns, you know, on that schedule. They get the good fortune of being able to play their way in without what other people do.
You mentioned Northwestern twice, but
everybody.
They play Northwestern twice. They only play Nebraska once, so actually their Big Ten schedule is going to be even tougher because of that.
Beating Northwestern and Nebraska does not change my opinion.
That's my point, is they won't be doing that.
And let's keep moving here. And I want to go ahead and reveal the last two teams we have in our field. This is our 12-line first four matchup. And as always happens every year, Arizona State is going to Dayton this year to take on NC State, according to us.
Don't like them either.
And these are two teams that I think are probably don't really belong in, but the problem is they're such garbage right now on the bubble.
Yeah. Okay, a team that's not in.
We'll get to those in a second. I want to discuss these two teams here first, David. I'll pull up the two profiles here, NC State and Arizona State, which will take 1 second here to load.
Arizona State, gosh, last night.
That loss at Washington State, really, really painful. NC State has the win at Virginia, has a win over Wisconsin, it's actually a pretty good road win over UNC Greensboro, but so many losses, especially in the Tier 3 conference.
And also not swept by Georgia Tech.
Right.
I know it's you're not supposed to. You're supposed to take the names off the jerseys when you look at resumes. Anyone who loses, who gets North Carolina's best shot on a random night, Oregon. I'm not going to say two tier three losses and just dismiss.
Let me also throw something out here. When it came to the voting here, there was 1 point separating NC State to Arizona State to the top team out. So it could have very well been our top team out that made it in here. Obviously Minnesota there also, but the top team out was a team that I think is played incredibly well right now, should be in there, and that's Mississippi State. Rhode Island and Utah State up there. I'll get to that Memphis in 1 second because I got to call somebody out about it. But those top three at least, I mean, especially Mississippi State and Rhode Island, these are teams that are looking up as opposed to these last three teams we put in.
Right. If Rhodey were to play anybody in the first four on a neutral court or on equal terms, I think they'd beat them. I mean, this Rhodey team is really playing well. They had that heartbreaking loss in the Ocean State Championship game to Brown. But, ever since then, they've been on a roll.
And Joby, this is the A-10 team that I think is the second A-10 team here, Rhodey.
I had two other A-10 teams ahead of them, but I have VCU a legitimate step up because of the win against Richmond, beating the other one. I think highly of all three of those. So, given the recency, once again, recency bias. That's not a Kamei trait, but VCU doing to Richmond what they did in what is a tight game, that's why they rise above. But hey, Rhodey beats VCU, Rhodey beats Richmond. Rhodey can make the road. I had Rhodey, my second team, my third team out? I mean, I'm totally cool with Rhode Island getting in the mention for a spot.
Let me bring up the other two teams that are on this line here. Utah State on the left there, a team that is the resume is starting to look better and better, especially as LSU and Florida get better. And we kind of ran them off a while ago. I mean, this next game this weekend is it. You know, they win at San Diego State. They look really good. They don't. They're not. But, Slika, I got to call you out. You were the only person that voted for Memphis. You voted them solidly in the field. So that's why they got up to number four, the top four teams out. You want to defend it?
I don't necessarily want to defend it, but I think if we were going to choose a team between, let's say, Memphis, VCU, or Rhode Island, I'm just picking my poison right here.
Yeah. Right. Let me show you. There's about 11 other teams that at least got votes to be in the top 55, not necessarily to be in, but to be near the bubble.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of pull up the rest of them here in one shot here. Those teams include DePaul, VCU, Texas, Purdue, Utah, Tennessee, Georgetown, Richmond, St. John's, Pitt, and even UNC Greensboro got a little bit of love from somebody in the top 55.
I think for me. Yeah.
I want to address a couple of these real quickly. We kind of discussed a little bit about VCU and Richmond already. Texas, off of the win at TCU, it suddenly has a profile that's starting to creep up there again. And a team that we Maybe Texas San Antonio. Who's,
yeah, not UTSA. not them. They are not creeping anywhere.
UTSA. But anyways, now they've won at Purdue and at TCU, and not nothing bad on the profile. And they're going to have the chances. You know, we kind of wrote this team off a few weeks ago, and maybe we wrote
them off. Yeah, and if you put them next to Minnesota, they look about as good.
And so, Chad, how many of those teams that they've beaten are even listed as bubble for us?
But I know
they're on the road, but they're not even. I mean, Purdue and TCU aren't even on our bubble. I mean,
TCU in there? No. I'm just saying that this is why Texas, I think, made the list. Purdue
and Texas can make a run because they play in the Big 12. But unlike years past, the Big 12, a win at the number 6 team in the Big 12, TCU, doesn't propel you into the dance. They're going to have to do it against, a Texas Tech, a Baylor, a Kansas. Yeah, they're Oklahoma. They're going to have to do that.
All right, let's go real quick here. I'm going to reveal the rest of the 12 seats first of all. These are these are automatic bid winners here.
Yeah,
we've got Yale gets Iowa, Vermont against Creighton, and Illinois. I believe they're going to get East Tennessee State.
I think Tennessee State, I actually had them as my, if you were ranking on an at-large basis, I actually had them as my last at-large spot, kind of.
I didn't coming off of a very bad loss last
night. Well, it's a bad loss to Mercer. I get you that, but that's the one. But they also have what is now looking better and better as a very quality road win, so.
I mean, I would take East Tennessee State in that game against Illinois. I don't know. Illinois is a bad
matchup. Illinois is playing well. But I take East Tennessee State over Penn State.
I would.
I'd take them over Creighton because the game's in March. And I don't know if I would over Iowa.
Okay. 13 seed line here. These are the matchups for the 4 seeds in the first round. We'll go quickly here. Stephen F. Austin getting Butler. New Mexico State against Maryland. I'll take New Mexico State.
Yeah,
that's Akron against Kentucky. I might take Akron. And Liberty against West Virginia. Liberty team who's going in the wrong direction right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, this New Mexico State team is dangerous. I think this is about where the committee would put them. The question is to our committee. This is almost, it's kind of impossible to answer. You know that they were not at full strength in November and December. You saw them last year when they were at full strength, what they were capable of. How happy is Maryland to see a team that took a Final Four team to the wall with virtually 5 of their 6 top players back and healthy, which they were not in November or December in the round of 64?
Yeah. A quick score update. Arizona did win that game. Finally got a road win, so that makes the – maybe they should be the 8 seed and Michigan the 9 seed. But quickly, the 14 seeds, these are the 3 seeds first round matchups. So Michigan State would get Georgia State, Oregon would get Wright State, Dayton would get Colgate, Louisville get North Texas, the CUSA.
I got a question, Chad.
Yeah.
We're blowing through these. Say I want to hear more about
you
these.
You go teams. Scroll down there. Watch us on Under the Radar. Yeah, okay. I am going to blow through these last 2 lines real quickly here, though. The 15 seeds. 2-seed Florida State gets Winthrop. Villanova gets Hawaii. Nice little trip from there from the island all the way to Albany, New York. Duke gets William & Mary and Dakota State.
Yeah.
Finally, the 16 seeds up top there. We've got Baylor matching up with the winner of a Monmouth-Prairie View game. Gonzaga getting Montana. Not a long trip from Montana to Spokane. Kansas getting Murray State. Ohio Valley is not last year's Ohio Valley.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And San Diego State gets whatever Norfolk State Robert Morris first 4 game. That is our bracket, though. So on that note, I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts, either for the night or on the entire bracket that we put together. And Stalika, let me start with you.
For my final thought, I'm actually going to go over to the women's game, where usually that means either something real good happened or something real bad happened. And in this case, it's going to be a little bit of both, because for the first 19 minutes of the first half, South Carolina jumped out to a 27-0 lead at Ole Miss, held the Rebels scoreless on their first 30 possessions before Ole Miss finally got a bucket with 57 seconds remaining in the first half. So needless to say, a banner night for the Gamecocks.
2 points in the first half. That tied the D1 record. I can't believe somebody else did it before that, actually. Joby.
My final thought, I won't go too far in. Pay attention to Minnesota and teams like that. Texas from last year is a great example. Overall record matters. The walkthrough I did on Minnesota is a very important exercise when you're looking at these Purdue's and Minnesota's who have strong wins, but overall the record is disappointing. And the Big Ten is going to be ground zero for this because it is so deep. And every time a game is played, someone has to lose, even if it's against two tier one. The loser will get a tier one win. So Minnesota, it's going to be a tough road. We have them here, but I don't – this might be our last bracket show.
I would have had Mississippi State in and Minnesota out and, you know, adjust accordingly had we voted after tonight's game.
I would have done the same thing with the exact same teams because Mississippi State was my first team out, so yes. All right.
David.
Now that Arizona has that road win, I think that really helps them out. It fills a gap that they really needed to fill. That's one thing. The second, as we're recording this literally just happened a minute or two ago. Killian Tilly of Gonzaga, really, really nasty-looking knee injury. Your leg is just not supposed to bend like that. He's been taken to the locker room. He could not walk. He was carried off. I don't know the extent of it. I don't want to assume that the season is over. But, like, right now you really, really hate to see that on, you know, what – you hate it for him. You hate it for his team. You just really hate to see that.
Wow, I did not have that game on. So, we'll be talking on the Hoops HD report coming up Monday night. That'll be our next podcast. We'll obviously address that, especially if it is something.
Not just Tilly, but also Marcus Howard also had an injury around his orbital bone last night. So he ended up missing the final 12 minutes of the second half along with the two overtimes and Marquette's win over Xavier last night.
Yeah, we didn't discuss Marquette that much when we put them on the board there. I think we put them in as what, a sixth seed? I haven't heard if he's going to miss any time yet. Just, like, do you have any news? Or
I don't know what his current status is right now, but needless to say, that would not be a positive development for a Marquette team where he's been averaging almost 30 points a game in Big East play alone this year.
If he only misses 2 weeks and they lose all those games, because it's Marcus Howard, player of the year candidate, they will definitely be dismissed by the committee for the most part.
I'm just double checking. He's just listed as questionable moving forward, so they don't have a decision yet on him. Although they did beat Xavier without him last night.
Exactly,
so.
Good win.
Double overtime, but they did win it. On that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. You can now go down and take a closer look at the final bracket that we put together. But on behalf of Joby Fortson, John Slica, and the guy over there that thinks that Auburn sucks.
They do.
I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.